So James chapter 5, looking at verse 19. I'm going to read it in the King James and then also in the NIV. It says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." In the NIV, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whosoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins." Lord, we just pray that tonight you would speak to each one of our hearts, Lord. We pray, God, that you would really examine our hearts, Lord, tonight, that you, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, would draw us near. And, Lord, we do pray, Lord, that you would take your word and impress it, Lord, upon our minds, impress it upon our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, as James has taught us, to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless us with your presence and fill us with your love, for we ask it in Jesus' name. We all agree and said, amen. Amen. It's interesting that James would close out his letter with restoring a person back to faith. But actually, it really makes a whole lot of sense. You may remember these Jewish believers were overcome with problems, and their faith was tested. And James was concerned that they were giving in to impatience, bitterness, materialism, disunity, and spiritual apathy. He had told them that faith will endure trials, that trials will come and go, but strong faith will face the trials, learn from them, by doing so will produce perseverance and endurance. Faith will understand that temptation is certainly to come. However, we need not fail or fall to its desire or to its enticements, because faith will stand strong against the winds of adversity. Faith will obey God's word by doing what God says, and it will harbor no prejudice. Where faith is, favoritism cannot coexist. Faith will always display itself in works, because faith is more than mere works or having great knowledge. Faith demonstrates itself by obedience to the promises of God. Amen? Dr. Lehman Strauss says, "God knows whether or not I'm a true believer on the basis of my faith apart from works. But men can only know whether or not I am a true believer as they observe my life outwardly." Jesus said we can distinguish between the true and the false only by man's fruits. And that's what it says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that bears not good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." So we test them. We test whether someone is walking with the Lord or not walking with the Lord. We don't judge whether they're saved or not. We're judging their fruits of what is coming from their lives. Usually, wandering from the truth is a slow process. You just don't wake up one day and say, "You know, I think I'll backslide today. It sounds like a good day to backslide. I think I'll go to the bar downstairs. I think I'm going to hang out over at the Swallows Inn for a while. You know, I think I'm in." You know, you start to do, one day you wake up and say, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk away from the Lord." It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The enemy just has a way of just drawing you out real slowly, dangling little things in front of you, you know, and just trying to just draw you little by little. Just little whispers in your ear, little things that are happening in front of your face, little decisions that you're making that mount up to real big decisions or big trouble. It's like the frog in the hot water, right? It's like the frog, when you put the frog in the water and you be, it's nice and cool, the frog's happy, jumping around and everything, and you begin to just kind of just start the heat, you know? And the frog goes, oh, well, this is nice, it's kind of warm, it's feeling, oh, well, this is not bad, I like it, you know? So now he's laying back like this, going, yeah, this is cool, you know, kind of going around and around like this, this is great, I like this, this is good, you know? Oh, it's getting a little warmer, oh, man, I'm getting a little sleepy, I'm getting a little tired, you know? Oh, man, oh, and all of a sudden the water is boiling. And the frog, goodbye frog, the frog's dead. You know, the frog's in a boil. We have frog legs. But that's what happens. All of a sudden it's slow and it begins to heat up. And before you know it, you go, where am I? Where's the Lord? What's going on? And the water is boiling. But at that time, it's too late. It's just like you're down almost for the count. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 11 here. Great, great story in the Bible about the lost and prodigal son. Luke 15 and verse 11. It says, and Jesus is speaking. He says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. Notice that. He had two sons. And I think sometimes we go right over this. We just kind of read it and we go right over it. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them. He gave both sons, the older son and the younger son, his livelihood. It wasn't just to one son. It was equal to both sons. Even though the older one didn't ask for it, he gave it to him anyway. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions on prodigal living. I have that underlined in my Bible. He wasted his possessions on prodigal living. But when he had spent all, everything, all his inheritance, everything that was given to him, everything that was spent up, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to want. Man, I'll tell you, when the screws get tightened, when you finally begin to want, you know, at first you're just going, hey, man, I got it made. I got all this money. I can just live however I want. And that's what he did. He went out and just partied and had a great time and just lived it up, just lived it up. And finally, once he had spent everything, and now he was in severe need because of the famine that came into the land, and he began to be in want. Sometimes the Lord has to bring us to a place, doesn't he, to be in want, that I'm just going, whoa, now what am I going to do? I don't have anything. I don't have these possessions anymore. I don't have this money. I don't have this wealth anymore. And so then he went, and he, listen to this. He joined himself to the citizens of that country. he went and he was partying and he is having a good time, but now he's taking it a step further. Not only was he among the people of the world, now he is joining the people of the world. He is living in the world totally, a citizen of that country. He came to them and he sent him into the field to feed swine. They said, okay, we'll give you a job. You want a job? We'll give you a job. We're going to have you go feed the swine. And I bet he was just thankful, well, at least I got a job. Well, that's great. At least I have, you know, something, and maybe they'll feed me and everything. But it says, and no one gave him what? What's the word there? Anything. No one gave him anything. But in verse 17, it says, but when he came to himself, oh, praise the Lord. When he finally came to himself, that is so, so very important to understand. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger? Like, give me a break. Am I crazy or what? My father is rich. He has hired servants. And I'm hungry? What in the world? I mean, in other words, he came to his senses. He finally woke up to what was all around him and where he was and where he used to be and now how he has been in want. And he's going, what is going on? And then he said, I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, and this is so important, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Wow. Wow. Father, I've sinned against heaven before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And the father said, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. Get out of my sight. I am absolutely done with you. Is that what he said? Nope. Look at verse 20. What a great verse this is. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. His father was looking for him. His father probably every day went out and was looking down the road to see if his son was going to return. His father was out there looking for him. And so when he saw him, it said he had compassion. And what did he do? He ran. He ran to him. He didn't wait for his son to come running to him. He didn't wait for his son. His son was probably dragging again. Can you imagine? He's ashamed. He's probably, his clothes absolutely stunk from being with pigs, right? The world was all over him. And he was walking in just disgustingly, probably just, like I said, stunk to high heaven. And he sees him. But did he turn him away? No. He ran to him. He ran to him. And then he had compassion, and he fell on his neck, and he began to kiss him, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and the sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. I want you to see something here that's very important, very important. For one, I can totally, absolutely relate to this story. I don't know how many of you guys can relate to this story. Many times we can relate to it as far as coming to know Jesus Christ for the first time, that a lot of times God will put us in want. God will put us in a place of just like, I'm just doing my own thing, but I become to a place of want. I know in my own life, I had began to walk with the Lord. I was walking with the Lord for about 5 years, and I ended up getting lured back by the world, getting entrapped by the world once again. And it's because, for various reasons, but most of it was because I got away from God's word. I got away from fellowship with God's people. Instead of going to church, I said, well, I can just listen on the radio. Or instead of going on Sunday morning, I can just stay home and I can tune in something on TV. I don't really need to go to have church. I can just kind of have church on my own and I'll just be fine. Well, after the same time, I was being tempted by friends that were offering me all sorts of different things to engage in. And little by little, I became weaker and weaker and weaker. And pretty soon, I began to find myself now engaging with those guys. I began to find myself back into the things that I had once renounced. I began to drink once again. I began to smoke pot once again. I begin to be more sexual active. I just one by one, I began to do those things that I had said I'd never do again by being a Christian, that I put away, but I was allured back into the world. I was enticed by the things of the world, and I fell. And I began to just, I almost lost my marriage. It came to the place to where I almost lost my marriage. I came to the place of that Jackie was so sick and tired of me working all the time and coming home late and smelling like alcohol, smelling like beer, just like she had just had it. She's just like, you know, and we had a son that was just, you know, he was just a couple years old, and she just couldn't believe that, you know, the man that she thought she had married had turned away and went back into the world. And so God allowed me to do that. He allowed me to keep on going. He allowed me to keep going and keep going and keep going. And finally one time, I was out and I was in construction. So I was out with a customer late, and I had my cousin's sports car. I borrowed it from him. And so I went out, and I think it was over in the city of Industria or Hacienda Heights or something like that that I was over there. And we went over to this construction office, and so we, you know, we started to have a few beers. We started to smoke a lot of pot. And he goes, "Oh, I know this place down the road here, you know, there's topless girls and all that stuff. Hey, man, come on, yeah, let's go." "Oh, yeah, okay." So I find myself over there, and pretty soon it's like, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, right? And so I'm just, you know, and I am just totally, absolutely out of it, right? And I get into that sports car, and I get in it, and man, I'm just going to head on home and all that stuff. And I just was heading down there. There's nobody on the street, pretty much. It was in a sort of an industrial type of area, you know, except for big, you know, some big rigs that were out there, double trailer rigs. And so I'm heading down the road, and I don't know what happened, but I didn't see it. All I knew is that I thought the light was green, and so I came up, and I just planted this sports car under a semi truck, went right under the back of the semi truck. The light was turning green, was red, turned green. He was taking off. I hit him, and he was taking off, so he didn't even feel me hit him. It was like probably just a jerk for him because he was pulling off anyway. I went right under him, and he pulled off and he left, right? And I was there, and praise the Lord, I went kind of under back like that, so I didn't get my head chopped off, right? And I'm there, and I'm in the car, and I'm just, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, what happened? You know, and I kick the door open. And I get out, and I'm looking at this car, and it's destroyed. Just literally, it's just smoking. It's just smoking. It's just torn. The whole front end is just smashed in. It's just destroyed. And I'm standing there looking at this thing, you know, just unbelievable. I'm just amazed that I'm standing there. I'm amazed that I'm alive in the very first place. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not a coincidence that I'm standing here. Either I'm standing here dead, looking dead, but I'm here. I can't believe this. And I just like, oh my goodness, you know. And then the oddest thing happened, and I don't know, my brothers, if it was an angel, I don't know how it was, but all I know is I'm standing out there, and I begin to walk down the road trying to find something that I could, you know, make a phone call with. We didn't have cell phones back then. And a highway patrolman came by, and he said, "Hey, are you all right?" You know, he goes, "Is that your car back there?" And I go, "Yeah." And I thought, "I'm done. This is it. I am done. I'm going to be arrested. He's going to take me to the jail. He's going to do a breathalyzer on me. I am just, you know." And he goes, "Get in the back." And I go, "Okay." So I get in the back, right? And he takes me over to a payphone, and he drops me off, and he says, "Phone somebody, get a tow truck out here and phone somebody to pick you up." "Yes, sir." I was just like, I don't believe this. I just can't believe this. And so a buddy of mine came over. I called my wife, and I got no answer over at the house. I did not know that at the same time that all this was taking place, Jackie had said, I'm done with him. I am done with him. I am packing it up, and I'm going over to my brother's and sister-in-law's house. I'm taking our son, and I'm going over there. This guy is just, he's just out of bounds. He's just, he's off the deep end. And I'm going to go live with my brother for a while. I called her. There was no one home, no one home, no one home. I thought to myself, what's going on? So I called a buddy of mine, and he came out, and he picked me up. And it's like we went over to his house, and what I remember is this. I remember this. I remember that before I went to lay down that night, before I laid down that night, it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, did you see that I saved your life? Did you see what I did for you? And it just had this whole replay of everything that took place, that car, what I've been through, what I've been going through, what I've done, and what I've done to my wife, and everything. It was all just playing through my mind. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It was so strong that I literally just fell down on my face before the Lord and begged for God's forgiveness. I said, oh, God, please forgive me. Please for me. I've gone away from you. I've been so far away from you. I want to taste of you once again in my life. Lord, I need you. I can't live without you. I'm making a mess out of my life, out of my marriage, out of everything, Lord. I just can't do it anymore. And right then and there, God says, I forgave you. As I confess my sins, he was faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right there and then, he filled me with his Holy Spirit once again. And I fell asleep and I woke up and I was so happy. I was just elated. And I was trying to, you know, I'm just so excited. I'm telling my buddy that picked me up, you never guess what happened. God met me. I'm changed now. I'm just going, he restored me. I'm just like, wow, God just did this work in me. You won't believe it. It's just so cool. You know, I get on the phone and I, you know, I'm trying to find my wife. Well, I found my wife and I go, honey, guess what? You know, Jesus, I met Jesus and everything, you know, and this is what happened to me. And she goes, yeah, right. Bink, hang up. Oh, my goodness. You know, of course, I promised her that many, many times. You know, oh, yeah, I'll get back to love, you know. But I lied and lied and lied. And so she wouldn't believe my promises. As I look at the prodigal son here, I see, first of all, there's something that's very important. There's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that has to be. There has to be that conviction of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Then after that, there has to be the repentance that took place, a repentance of it saying, I'm going to arise, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm really going to make that confession before the Father and say, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you, my Father. I've sinned against you alone. And so I have that conviction. I have the repentance. I make the confession, and I receive his forgiveness. Wow. I receive his forgiveness. And so that's what is personally, that's what the Lord has done for me. When I wandered from the truth, the Lord was there. And I look at this verse when it says, for your brother was dead and is now alive and was lost and is now found. God does not give up on us, gentlemen. God loves us with an everlasting love. James, once again, says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, that truth can come in different forms, guys. It can be that you just totally backslide and go back into the world. It can be that you deny the Lord, like Peter denied the Lord, right? It can be that you get into false doctrine. And because of false doctrine, you get away from the real truth from God's word because you get in false doctrine. It can come in various forms. It says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Restoring a brother who has wandered from the faith must be a priority we all share. First, we need to be aware of the person wandering from faith in the first place. Sometimes it's obvious, and other times he's living in secret sin. When a brother is missing church on a regular basis, or he has stopped coming to the men's group, you need to reach out to him. It's too easy for guys to fall through the cracks. We must keep each other accountable. Amen? We need to keep each other accountable. Are you comfortable in the things that used to convict you? Are you comfortable in the things that used to convict you? Are you compromising in the areas that were once conquered? Perhaps you are beginning to wander from the truth just a little bit. You know, for a compass, you know, if you're just off a degree, man, if your destination, you're off by a whole lot. How can we help a brother from wandering from the truth? Well, Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? To love one another. So fulfill that law by restoring that brother. But be careful. Don't get yourself tainted by the things of the world. Jude says it like this in Jude 20. But you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some, having compassion, make a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Literally, that word means literally yanking them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And then in Revelations 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And he says, here's what you can do about it. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Remember where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So you remember, you repent, and then you repeat. We must come like the lost son came back to the father, or like David did when his sin was revealed to him. If you want to turn over to Psalm 51, please do so, but I'm going to read it. It says, and this is David, after Nathan the prophet had confronted him. And David, his eyes were open to his sin and what he had done as far as not just the adultery, but the murder of Bathsheba's husband as well. He said this, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, your desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me known. You will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors in your way and sinners will be converted to you. David knew what it was to be away from the Lord. And David knew what it was to be broken by the Lord. David knew what it was to make confession to the Lord. I understand that too. I know exactly where David is coming from on this. I felt the same thing as David did. And I look at this and I go, oh my goodness, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. He did. He did restore to me the joy of my salvation by his generous spirit. And then he said, then I will teach transgressors in your way, and sinners shall be converted. And he did that too. And I'm just amazed what God can do. So I ask you tonight, brothers, where are you at with the Lord? Have you been wandering from the truth? Have you been compromising a little bit in your walk and your faith with God? And if that speaks to you tonight, I challenge you, take that Psalm 51, take it before the Lord, get on your knees and pray it, and ask God to forgive you of those things that you have done. And the good news is he will. He will. And he'll restore to you the very joy of your salvation. Amen? Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this word tonight. What an appropriate way to be able to end the book of James. That James, Lord, was concerned, Lord, for those who have wandered away, Lord, from the truth of your word. And Lord, I just pray, Father, if there's any here that have wandered away, Lord, from the truth, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would restore them upon this very night, Lord. That you would speak to them through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And that tonight, Lord, would be that night that they would totally, absolutely rededicate their lives to you. Or even if, Lord, they've been wandering a little bit, Lord, there's that conviction, Lord, they may be compromised a little bit, Lord, that they would not even want that in their lives, that they would come to you and say, God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go in that direction any longer. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me. So do that work, Lord, in our lives tonight, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. We all agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.